Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this September the 7th on the west coast of the United States, now September the 8th on the east coast and in the central time zone. We rescheduled Jim Murray from last week's Friday night show so that we could bring Mark and Heather Lawrence on to talk about Heather's problems in the Florida school system and her suspension for asking a student to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and show some respect to the flag. Anyway, that was a great show, by the way. Jim was scheduled for tonight, and I was in touch with him before we went on the air. For some reason, we're having a bit of difficulty getting in touch with him, but our engineer Don tonight will be trying to invite him into the show as time goes on. And I have a message that I want to deliver to the listening audience in the meantime anyway, so all is not lost here. We're trusting that we will make contact and patch him into our audio board so we can speak with him. Through a few very close friends, I put out a special request for prayer last night. I was informed that my publisher and editor at the Idaho Observer, Mr. Don Harkins, is on life support in a hospital right now. He's not doing very well. He has been diagnosed with a very rare, we're told, a very rare form of leukemia that struck him really severely within the past 4 days or so. And we ask everyone out there who might be listening either on BBSRadio.com, on BlogTalkRadio.com, or Wind Talkers Radio Network to please pray for Don's speedy and miraculous recovery. Usually people don't come back from this type of illness, and yet I myself this year have witnessed many miracles throughout my life. I have. In fact, that's the natural order of business, is to experience miracles. So we pray not out of fear, but just staking our claim that God's word is true and that he will perform miracles. Now, I intend to talk about this with tonight's guest. I don't mean Don's dilemma right now, but in general, our relationship with God. And I want to, I was delighted to find out that since we had opened up a discussion a little over a week ago with Jim Murray about the servers of the divine plan, the purpose for us being here on planet Earth and what we're going through, and how this plays into the concept of eternity and an uplifting or a raising of one's spiritual consciousness, moving to a higher plane. And I think it's appropriate right now, with all the fear-mongering that's going on around the world, especially what comes out of the mouths of those that think that they themselves are God here on this planet, and I'm speaking about those in the government in particular, there's so much confusion around, and this confusion is created by all the disinformation and the propaganda. I was on Drew Rain's show this afternoon, and I was asked some really good questions. Certainly, people seem to be at a point where if they don't hear what they want to hear from my mouth in regard to what I've discovered in my research, that either all is lost or that they don't want to hear my message. Well, as Drew often says, change the knob, turn the knob, or look for the on-off switch and push it down. No one's forcing you to listen to these broadcasts. Of course, The idea is to get a message out. And it's not necessarily my message. This is a point that I'm trying to make to everyone. I'm not asking anyone to believe a word I'm saying. But I'm presenting you the truth as I see it and as I discover it and as I learn more about it. And once you do know the truth, you can't turn away from it. So many are willing to listen to it, but they don't want to find it on their own. They want someone to deliver it on a silver platter. And then when they have it, they do nothing with it. Well, what do we do now? What do we do now that we know how corrupt the world is or how rotten these people are who are turning us all into slaves and getting ready to mass murder millions, even billions of people? What do we do about this? And I have to ask, what part of the message don't you listen to? Many people haven't heard me speak but once a week on someone else's show. So they don't know much about what I talk about on this show or sometimes on other shows. Because this is not the only place where we engage in discussions of higher consciousness and spirituality and God and evil and all of these things. But if you're going to know who your enemy is, certainly you have to know the means through which your enemy works. What is your enemy's modus operandi in that case? How do you recognize the truth from a lie? And you have the tools. You were given the same tools that I was given or any other truth teller out there, anyone that's revealing this information to you. You have the means within yourself to find it. Certainly the answers you're looking for are within you. And they're within you. It doesn't mean that there's a book and you just open it up and voila, it's all there. No, you actually have to communicate with a higher intelligence. You have to diligently seek higher intelligence. And you really do it through the heart. You do it through emotion. You do it through love. You do it through light. You do it through what's good. There's plenty of the opposite of that down here. Are you expecting to get those lofty answers from within the belly of the beast? In the earth itself? And we understand so little about nature and how creation came about. But we have all the answers, and if you don't like what you're hearing, then, well, you know, this person doesn't know what they're talking about, or they're talking bad about this person, or don't you think anybody is revealing the truth? Not through the mainstream media, I don't. They don't permit that, you see? They don't permit that. It's about illusion. So we're going to talk about dispelling illusions tonight, because the truth tellers are often the people that do the work, the research, and they present the research, and then you're waiting now for us to present all the solutions. And we do, not all researchers present solutions. They certainly like to reveal what they've discovered. But if you take it in and you don't do anything with it, what sense is there in imparting it to you? That's the question I have, and I know other talk show hosts have that same issue. Talk show hosts, researchers. One that comes to mind is Drew Raines. That man spends most of his day, most of his night, doing work for other people and not getting paid for it. And for most people, that's not a problem. Somehow you think that Drew Raines owes that to you, that he should do all this work. And I can tell you, he's not doing it in the hope that people start sending him money. He's doing it to bring you the truth. He's answering to the voice of the Creator, that request that comes from within the heart. You're capable of doing something here, Drew. You're capable of leading the people or leading them to the truth. And then once they find it, what do they do with it? Do they sit on it? Do they flush it down the toilet? Do they set it next to their six-pack of beer and their bag of chips while they're watching the TV? Granted, there are plenty of wonderful people in the world that care about the world. But I have to say, honestly, many of them, the majority of them, aren't doing a thing about it. They love the earth. They love people. But they're not doing anything to help solve the problems. They're sitting and watching everybody else and making judgments about this person here, this one's kind of whacked out. You know, all they talk about is ammunition and firing guns. And this person over here, all they want to talk about is God. Well, that's their choice. That's their freedom to do that. But everyone else sitting on the sidelines is basically, you know, if you're not seeing what you want, then it's boo, boo. You got to get rid of them. You got to badmouth them. You have to get them out of the way. And if you like them, then you're swooning. You want to shine their shoes. You want to pay large amounts of money to go hear them speak. And you come home from that experience, and what do? Usually nothing. You want to see someone else perform. You're so entertainment-starved that someone has to actually be putting on a show. They have to impress you somehow. And I guess you have that right. That's part of free will. You have the right to do nothing. But then don't criticize those that are doing something. Or don't complain when the message isn't tailored to what you want to take in. What your belief system is. Because it may not have anything to do with belief at all, and just pure knowledge, or just pure truth. And once you find the truth, you can't turn away from it and pretend like you didn't know it. That's a big problem that we have here in America, but it's not the only place. It's like that all over the world. It's just that we're talking about it. We have a medium right now where we can let the rest of the world know that we're aware of this. But what do we do? I'm sure the people overseas that listen to these radio shows and listen to us talk about solving problems and developing a higher consciousness and taking responsibility and becoming aware and becoming prosperous of our own accord, not by some corrupt system that was corrupt from its inception. And why do we try to hold on to those things that don't work? Why do we expect to hear the truth from those that lie to us? And I'm speaking about mainstream media. It's a show. It's a mind control job on you. It's propaganda. It's designed to produce sociological effects. It's the cause, and you become the effect. And then they move in and pounce on you and take your rights away. And they've done a good job of doing that. I still hear people say, well, if it was true, it would be on TV. That's the most ridiculous statement you could make, because you're not going to see the truth there. You're going to see a semblance of it. It's going to be slickly delivered to you in a way. It's called production. They produce all kinds of special effects, dramatic logos and moving letters and words and flashes of light and exploding pictures and sounds. And music, all the things to set you in a mood to become receptive to the intent of the message. Not the message on its own accord. Not the message in the light of the truth. But the message with an agenda to tailor your behavior. To tailor the outcome of your reaction to the next thing that they bring forward. Got everybody in panic about flu vaccinations, and I've talked about them, and I've done the research on them, and I'm working with other researchers who are working on these issues, and they see them the same way I do. In fact, we share the information. We don't panic. We don't freak out. We dig deeper, because the more you expose the truth, the less effectiveness their plan has, the less of a possibility of their becoming a pandemic, you see, because you'll get the flu pandemic kick-started when everybody starts lining up for vaccines.
Don, can I interject something?
Jim, you are here. Great. I'm glad you
made it. I've been here, but, you know, you're talking a mile a minute, and you have good things to say, and I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, then, why did you interrupt? No, go ahead. Welcome to the show, Jim. How are you?
I'm okay. They had trouble reaching me, and I don't know what was wrong, but they finally got through. So anyway, here I am.
Okay. Yes, please.
Yeah, you know, Internet. What you're saying makes so much sense, and I don't really understand how far things have to go before the light will go on in people's minds. Now, you're talking about the flu situation, anybody that's following this even remotely knows that people are already dying in other countries and in other places where they're using the vaccination, I think even in this country. And they're dying from the vaccination. They're not dying from the flu. I mean, where is this great flu epidemic? You know? Now, the thing that troubles me is, when will people actually wake up? When they start to put two and two together, that they see the vaccination squads coming, backed up by, their SWAT teams, and they make you and your family roll up your sleeve and take the injection, whether you like it or not, and members of your family, let's say the older people or the youngest ones, suddenly become ill when they weren't ill before. When does the light go on? When you bury them? You know, have you given any thought to what's going to happen at that point? Are you actually going to wait until people are dying left and right? I read an interesting article just the other day about a guy who went and took pictures of literally hundreds of thousands of coffins piled up in open fields in New Jersey. What do you suppose they're there for? You know, is it just some sort of a fluke that they had these things made and ready ahead of time? I mean, what does it take to actually make you realize that this is true? You know, the government is a monster, and it's after you. I mean, I just don't know how else to put it. There's no simple, gentle way to inform you of that fact. And, you know, the irony of it is, even if you're a socialist and you like the idea of a social government, it doesn't make any difference. They're only out for themselves. They don't care if you're a socialist, a communist, a capitalist, a Democrat, or a Republican. They're going to kill you anyway. Isn't that right, though?
Yes, I agree. I mean, you're underscoring what I was saying, you know, with more specificity. Well, they've got those same stacks of coffins in Georgia, too. They've been seen. It's been 8 or 10 months that they've seen those. And people have seen them passing by on trains, going to some unknown destination. This is not natural, people. This doesn't occur by accident, these things. These are plans. Now, why do we bring this up? We have to bring this up in the context of our beef with our listeners, with people who are just waking up. All of a sudden, they want all the answers. They want to catch up to years and years and years of research that many people have been doing, writing books, writing articles, speaking on radio shows, on television shows, in documentary films. They've been producing films. They've thought up every possible way they can to reach you, and when you do come along and start listening to the message, you're not, at least we get the impression, I say we, this is a collective of talk show hosts that look for your involvement, your response. That's what this is about. Certainly, we could be doing more fun things with our time. I can think of a lot of things I could do with my time and say, you know, my reason for not doing this anymore would be because the work I'm doing is not being appreciated. And one way to show your appreciation for it, whether you want to believe it or not, if it makes sense, and you're hearing the truth in a place where, compared to what you hear elsewhere, you're hearing, you know that this is the truth, then why don't you do something? Why don't you put it into action? Why is it so difficult? Well, I'm busy. Let me tell you, I'm busy too. I make sacrifices. I know Drew Raines makes sacrifices. I know Jim Murray, just preparing for the show every week without fail. He's been on this show for over two years. I know of no such devotion from the average talk show guest. Religiously, he comes to this show. And he's prepared. He's always qualified to talk about a topic. If he's a bit unfamiliar with the topic and maybe some specific details of the topic, he can still wing his way through an interview and bring a lot of very, very pertinent information to the listeners. And then the listeners say, oh, yeah, that was a great show. Okay, I'm waiting for the next show. Yeah, that was a great one. I'm waiting for the next one and the next one. And we want you to listen, of course. That's why we're broadcasting. But the point is that there has to come a time when the message makes some sense, and then you make something of it. You put it into action. You apply it to your own life, if you can do that. But everybody expects us to do that for them. This is the kind of feedback we get during the shows. Many of the questions we get are not even on the topic of what we're discussing. And it gives you the impression that people aren't really listening. They want to hear themselves talk, but they don't want to join in the conversation, the specific topic that we chose. And it's no accident we chose this one tonight. This is a reflection on the email and the phone calls and the participation or lack thereof during the regular broadcast or other shows. And it's not about being critical of the audience. It's just making an observation and telling you what we see. Because you want us to bring solutions. What can we do? It's people are saying things like, well, it seems like we've lost everything. Well, you're a good 3 years behind on the information. Because it was 3 years ago that people were saying that. And we still haven't lost. But we're getting close. We're getting close. And there are solutions, and we're going to talk about that. Because these are things that you should be putting into action in your own life. Just to be successful in your own life. And I don't mean about making money. But to get some satisfaction out of being alive. And to be making a positive contribution to life. A creative contribution. Not a cookie cutter or a carbon copy of something that somebody else did. Anybody can do that. And it takes something that comes from within you. It's not going to be found in a machine. Machines are going to destroy this world.
Well, you know, Don, there's an aspect of this that I think is quite subtle but very powerful, and perhaps we haven't addressed it. And I think what that has to do is the fact that even though people don't know exactly what's going on, and I know they don't because I've talked to hundreds of them, they don't understand the government, they don't understand the financial system, they don't understand their own rights. So they can't know what's going on. But they know that something's wrong, and they're pretty sure that it has something to do with the government. And they're afraid of the government. And, of course, that's the crux of the whole matter. You tell somebody, why don't you write to your representative or to your congressman? You know, that's your right. But he'll have my name. Who cares? You know what? When they march you into a FEMA camp, they're going to have your name beforehand. Don't you get it? It doesn't make any difference. You already are in the position where you've got nothing to lose. You just don't realize it. You know, there are very well understood formulas for how to deal with this stuff shy of revolution. You have the power and the ability to get any creep in Washington out of there just by doing the right thing. And it doesn't take a whole lot of smarts. Get on the internet and look up impeachment. Read a little. Study a little about how the government is supposed to work. Granted, it's crooked as the day is long, but that's beside the point. Every one of those creeps in there is in there for the money. And he has to know that his constituency is keeping him there. So if they're not performing, or if you have a problem with what they're doing, or if you're concerned about how your rights are dwindling, it's your obligation and nobody else's to sit down and pen a letter. send them all letters. Bombard them with letters. It really works. They're scared. Don't forget, how many of them are there? There's a couple of hundred. Maybe 300-400 of them all together. There are 250 million, pushing 300 million people in this nation right now. We surround them. You know, it's our right to change government if we don't like it. Now, it's that simple. Do you really like being taxed for every imaginable thing on earth? Do you really like the fact that the bill that they've run up for the next several generations is in the hundreds of trillions of dollars? Who do you think is going to pay for that? Do you really like the fact that they lie to you about everything? The government tells you truth about nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you like the fact that your papers are full of nonsense and BS? They don't report the truth. They certainly don't follow the laws of conventional journalism. If you don't like those things, you have to do something about it. You know, actually, the people are the ones with the power. The problem is they've been brainwashed into thinking that somebody else has it. And that's the ticket right there. You have to get out of that mindset. I don't know what else to say. It's really that simple. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Yes. I'm in agreement with you. I had selected something I wanted to read to the listeners here, if you would allow me to indulge. This is from God, the creator of the universe. And this message was not given to me. I came upon it. And, in fact, I'm going to share, I think, this whole message tomorrow evening with the listeners. But it's important to read this, because forget about what I said. Forget about what Jim said. Listen to what God says and see if this doesn't sound like this came from the creator of the universe. And I quote, "You are given nothing herein which is difficult to understand. It is simplicity in every action and instruction. Ye can denounce and rebel, revolt and boil while spewing venom upon the ones about thee, but you will know that what I send and bring is truth and right, and you will never be in the unknowing again. And that which ye do against me shall be done in deliberate action, and woe unto you who denounce and demand that another follow you in your despicable path, for ye shall bear a portion of that one's downfall upon thy own soul. Ye who feel frail and think ye cannot stand in truth alone, ye are not alone, for I am the strength of the universe, and I shall support thee in the ending, precious ones. Ye shall stand all alone, just thee and me, and there shall be none other to answer in your stead. I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, to repay everyone according to the deeds he has done and according to the moment of confrontation to that which lies deep within the essence through intent. I am the start and the finish, the beginning of counting and the end of counting. Blessed forever are ye who are the end of counting. Blessed forever are ye who are tending of thine houses and washing of thine gates. Via my chariots of silver, washing of thine robes, as ye remove the soil from their wearing, so that ye stand tall as ye pass into the city through the gates, via my chariots of silver and golden wings. Until it is finished, I will leave my messengers upon your place, and they shall be lifted up into the security of my places of safety and light. And you who choose to listen not and continue to abandon my truth shall remain outside my city with the sorcerers and the immoral and murderers and idolaters and all who love to lie and do so. I have sent my angels and messengers among you to put the word to print and sound and picture in order to tell you these things. Know that in these times of the sorting, that as time moves on, the vile will become even more vile. Good men will become better, Those who are holy will continue on in greater holiness. Ah, yes, children, I bring you reward with me, your reward with me, and ye shall bring unto me thine markers, and we shall measure thine portion. I suggest all of you who can read, go unto the book called Holy, and even with its tampering, I commend you to read the book of Isaiah, and unto my people say, be ye ready. Do not be foolish in your geography perceptions. The beast of anti-God shall rise out of the places which claim to be my holy places, and the people will claim to be my chosen people, but they are evil and have no truth in them. But it shall be from the places of the ancient days from which the war shall move across the nations, and my reclaimed places shall rise, and the infected and evil places shall be given to sink beneath the seas to be cleansed and healed. Where shall ye be? I shall save my people. Now, to me, that sounds like a promise from God, the creator of all. And we have been saying that this is spiritual warfare, that this is a battle between good and evil, and that we have choices. And we must make those choices. Not making the choice doesn't exonerate you from any responsibility. Quite the contrary, he says that he will, or he says, we shall measure thine portion. In other words, there's going to be an accountability for what you've done and not done in your life. And you can take the easy road. That's your choice. But don't be surprised if you're not offered that opportunity. And I know, as my guest Jim Murray knows, that there's more to life than just this experience right here. Life goes on into eternity. That means forever. And where you will spend that eternity is going to have a lot to do with the decisions and the choices that you make now, from this moment on. It's not me saying it. It's the God that created the whole universe that made that statement, made that promise. And I just read it to you. Tomorrow I will read much more. It's worth reading over and over again and listening and hearing. Really hearing with all of your senses, all of your understanding. Jim, would you like to comment now? Because I'd like us to take this a notch higher.
Well, yes, of course, I listened carefully to the whole thing. It seems to me that the underlining statement there, even though it isn't spelled out as such, really resonates with the word responsibility.
Yes.
You know, with free will comes responsibility, because we essentially are designing our own destinies. Nobody's going to do it for you. And that's true in the spiritual sense, and it's true in the material sense. If we are here on this earth, and we're just going along for the ride, and we're hoping, well, gee, things will probably straighten out, things will be better, but we don't do anything about it, then you cannot complain about the fact that the entire thing collapses. You can't complain about the fact that you wind up in a FEMA camp. You can't complain about the fact that you're taxed to death. You know, we were talking before the show about a number of interesting things, and it's just amazing how many things people really don't know. And it doesn't matter when you tell them, but if they were to dig into it and find out for themselves, that's a whole different thing. It's a whole different experience than when somebody tells you something and you have the ability to dispel it under the auspices of disbelief or doubt or rejection of somebody else's information. But when you exert a little intestinal fortitude, you do some research on your own, and you come up with the same conclusions, somehow that has a whole different effect on your mentality. It has a whole different effect on the way you respond. You know, and that's the truth with everything. I can tell you very clearly that there was a time in my life when I started first hearing about the shenanigans that are going on in our government that I refused to believe it. you know, I said, well, what are you talking about? This is the United States. Things like that don't happen here. I mean, I actually was guilty of saying the same things that people have been saying to me all along. The only difference is that I got curious enough to actually go and start digging into it on my own. And when you find document after document and statement after statement and revelation after revelation concerning what's really going on and how all of the things which we feel are not related turn out to be not only related but cooperating with one another to produce an overall effect upon the earth, after a while, it's impossible to ignore it, regardless of how uncomfortable it is. And that's exactly the task that everybody faces if you really want to understand what's happening. There's no way that it's going to happen on its own. And even if it did, even if somebody was to hand you a book with all of the summary of all the horrors that are being designed against us, it wouldn't have the same impact as if you did the research yourself. Because it's too easy to toss it aside and say, well, this is conspiracy theory, this is nonsense. But it won't be conspiracy theory when the brown shirts start appearing in your neighborhood. It won't be conspiracy theory when you wind up in a FEMA camp. It won't be conspiracy theory when people start dying because of the injections that they're going to be getting. I mean, there's a point right there. Probably one of the most important things you can consider. Read Don's research. Look into the articles that he's written about this new vaccine. You know, they openly talk about the fact that they're putting bird excrement from infected fowl into the vaccine. I read it myself. Don's read it. Hundreds of people have read it. Why would they be doing this? You know, the vaccine itself is the plague. That's what you have to get through your heads. And do you really think that a responsible, moral and decent government that was created by the people, for the people, would be doing this? Think again, folks. We are really in the end times. And I'm not even a Christian. But yeah. I can certainly see the writing on the wall.
You know, Jim, what gets me, in a sense, is that people who are discovering the truth, there are many people who get involved. But passing the same email around for 3 months is not the way to do it. And then 8 or 10 months after I've done, you and I or some of my other guests, or sometimes we've done whole weeks at a time, or 2 weeks at a time, or a couple of months. We did 6 months of shows on consciousness. You remember that?
Of course.
And you played a role in that every week, and so did many of the other guests that I had on the show. We talked about consciousness. We talked about what is really going on. And we are attacked. Why do you think, if nothing we're saying has any substance to it, no validity, no truth behind it, why are we attacked? Why do they want to stop us? Why do they want to curtail our freedom of speech? Why do they want to pass laws that to call them corrupt is a crime? When they're, you know, that's a double entendre if I ever heard one. The criminally insane making the laws telling us that we're committing crimes when we point out the truth. That's what laws are about. Really, that's what the books are, the codes. And all the bills and the resolutions that they make. They don't deal with the truth. They don't deal with the ultimate truth. They certainly don't deal with consciousness. Everything is suppression of consciousness. Everything is suppression of knowledge, suppression of movement, suppression of nutrition, suppression of spirituality, your true essence. Everything is designed to stop you from being who you came here to be. And that should have you incensed to no end. You should not stop until you achieve that consciousness. Just to get even. let alone to claim a God-given right called life in the universe. It's your right. It's your birthright. And here we are again, sharing information. I mean, this is the understanding that I have from talking to God and from doing the research and having the ability to discern what it really is, what it really means. Do we have to know exactly what they have planned for us? Are we just going to always just react to what they do? Or are we going to start creating? Are we going to become the cause? You see, we have to become the cause. In there is all the answers that you could ever search for in your lifetime. Is you be the cause of what happens in your life and in the life of others. Now you have a choice. That's going to be something good. It's going to contain love. It's going to contain light. Or you're going to make the opposite choice. And it's going to be something that's going to destroy life or destroy creation and freedom. And it'll be dark. And you'll suffer through it. But you'll be so mired in it that you won't have any perspective of how corrupt it is. You'll become part of it. And it works both ways, folks. You have the choice. That's what's in that piece that I read from the Creator. What's in that little piece? I just read an excerpt of it. It's not the whole piece. And you don't have to be a Christian to understand that. Jim Murray just said, I'm not a Christian, and I understand that. That's universal law. It transcends organized religions and doctrine and dogma. It's the truth, and it stands on its own, and it doesn't need your approval or your acceptance to exist. But by recognizing it and using it, now you have power. Now you can arrive at solutions in solving problems, and you can create new outcomes and a new life for yourself and get this mentality of, well, you know, someday I'm going to win the lottery, and then I can do anything. No, you can't. The first thing you're going to do is give 50% or more of what you win away. It's going to be stolen from you, like everything else is. They come up with a word for it. They come up with a law for it. But it boils down to somebody taking your work and making it their own. They do this to me now with my research in an effort to discredit the time that my research comes out. They backdate a website or backdate a phony document, like they're doing with birth certificates these days. I mean, it's such a farce what they're doing. I see more realism in a Flintstones cartoon than I do in what they're doing right now. And they got the whole world biting at hook, line, and sinker. It never ceases to amaze me how easy it is to hoodwink somebody over pure nonsense, instead of really getting to the issue, the core issue, about what's going on in this country and in the world. The way you do that is by taking responsibility, as Jim pointed out, for yourself. We've talked about this on many a show. And you have to act upon that responsibility. It's not my duty to do that for you. I'm certainly willing to share that with you. You know, you as listeners to BBS Radio, you could all be subscribing to the archives and save me a tremendous amount of trouble sending it to you in an email or giving it to you free on my site. No one's helping me with that. No one is helping me with that. I've got friends that help me with my research. I've got friends that help me with, you know, certain things that my listeners who are getting all the benefits from me and my guests on this show every week after week, month after month, year after year, no one's sending any contributions in. And I'm not asking you to. But I feel that I have the right, I've earned the right to say what I choose to say on this show. And that includes taking a call or not taking a call, agreeing with you or disagreeing with you, because we're all, if you're sincerely listening to the show to get to the truth, then when you find it, you have to act upon it. And, you know, what does the network owe you to provide these archives for free? What do I owe you that I should provide them for free? But that's a choice I made. I'm not selling advertising. I have some sponsors that got me on the air, and those people will always be my sponsors because they helped me get started in radio. But my sponsors get very little support, too. And one of them is actually, you know, on his deathbed right now. He puts out that much. He's that devoted to this cause. Been putting the truth out in newspapers for 15 years, very uniquely. How many of you subscribe to the Idaho Observer? You like to listen. You like to say, oh, my research is great. Nobody's helping me. And I don't mean sending me these emails that are making the rounds, you know, every year. I saw this on Snopes.com, or I found this on WhatReallyHappened.com. Those are intel operations, folks. They're psyops. They're designed to brainwash you. Look them up. There is a way to research the IP addresses. They lead straight to the intelligence agencies, time and again. And I know other researchers and webmasters like Ken Adachi, who gets his material ripped off all the time. And he's always engaged in defending either his reputation or the reputation of someone else who's doing this kind of work and not getting paid for it. Numerous examples of that. Now, it's not everybody. It's not everybody that does that. But it's the majority of the people, and it seems the biggest critics are the ones that do nothing at all except criticize and complain. And like Drew Raines often says, if you don't like what you're hearing, change the channel. Nobody forced you to listen.
Well, you know, Don, on a slightly different note, but certainly a related fact. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that listen very carefully to what we say, and they contemplate the issues. And then they look around themselves to try and find an iota of proof. Because if you're immersed in something, it's very difficult to see, you know, to see the details. It's like the old question of, does a fish really know he's in water? You know. Well, we're so immersed in what's going on that sometimes it's difficult to see the truth, even when it's pointed out to you. But if you have a glimmer of practicality and a little bit of ability to observe, you can just glean the way things are going, and there are various highlights that call attention to the fact that things are not quite the way they appear to be. I'll give you an example. In the last year and a half, how many different advertisements are there now for companies that want to buy your old scrap gold? Well, you know, if you were to read what's going on and really understand it, you realize that the end of the fiat money is coming. It's coming one way or another because the system is completely broke. All of a sudden, you got all these companies that are giving you dollars for gold. Now, that's almost the same as handing you shredded newspaper in return for your gold, or used toilet paper in return for your gold, because there's no value to the paper, but there's value in the gold. And people are falling for it left and right, which is fine. They can do that if they want to. If they want to trade real value for no value, that's their option. But let's look at where that's actually going. The United States is in debt to the point of no return to other countries, particularly China. and they want to be paid in gold. Now, if they're fleecing the public for gold, it must mean there's nothing in Fort Knox. It must mean that our gold has already been depleted. You know, this doesn't take a whole lot of brains, folks. All you got to do is look around you, see what's going on, and relate it to the big picture. And the reason I'm calling this to your attention is because it's something concrete. It's something you can see. You know this is happening if you're watching TV at all, and most people watch TV religiously. So there's something you can sink your teeth into. Why don't you find out who owns these gold collecting companies? Why don't you find out where the gold is actually going? Why don't you look into the fact about what the metal is worth versus what the paper that you get in return is worth? Maybe it's smarter for you to hold on to your scrap gold. Now, these are things that are just tiny parts of the gigantic puzzle that we're immersed in. But if you don't make an effort, you'll never put the pieces together. You know, this whole thing with the fiat money system, maybe you don't know it, but Basel II and Basel III are newly passed laws that have been accepted by the international community for transparency in banking and for currency to be value-backed. And the U.S. is the only country, well, one of the only countries in the world that's resisting this new arrangement. Why?
Because of the theft. Because of the massive, massive embezzlement and outright corrupt theft of everything.
Yeah, and what are they stealing and from whom? Gee, let's think about that. Who could it be? Think it might have something to do with our plight?
Of course, Jim, you know, Jim's asking a rhetorical question here. It's quite obvious. I mean, listen to the insanity behind giving a bank that's failed. This is a bank that's had billions of dollars in its possession, or maybe even trillions, okay? Secretly trillions. And all of a sudden they failed. How is it that they came to fail? How is it that they didn't seek out any help before they failed? Right? No, it's we got to give them billions, but when it came time for everybody to ask, well, who got this money? Oh, we can't tell you. We don't tell you who got the money. Well, wait a minute. You said it was for this company and this company here and this company. Chrysler got, GM got, what, $18 billion? And then they became the property of the U.S. government after that? How is that? That occurred? That was our money. I mean, we're obligated to that money, though they don't sell it to us that way. This is to save the U.S. automotive industry, but they don't even tell us that GM isn't an American company. They don't tell us who really owns that. That's in my research. That's in my research. I've already written about this. And the other big corporations that they base the stock market on, the Dow Jones averages and the NASDAQ averages. This is all a big scam on us people from one end to the other. You can say, well, you're being overly critical. This is conspiracy theory. No, that's a new term. The word conspiracy is a word in and of itself, and the theory is something totally different. There's no meaning to this. This is more of the mind control propaganda again. Now they're using this term birthers. They come up with a name because all they can do is call people names. They can't address the truth. They have to call the people bringing the truth forward a name, and that takes care of the problem. And you were taught those things when you were kids. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We're back down to that level again? Is that where mankind has evolved to? In a summary consciousness? My God. But everyone tolerates the use of these words. They adopt them. with their breakfast cereal. They sprinkle it on their breakfast cereal, and they consume it. And then they talk it all day like they know, like they're experts. These are the people that don't do the research that are making these statements. These are the people putting out the propaganda that make up these terms. And those that control them are making up these terms. This is the term all the media will use. Don't you find that strange that all the media uses these terms, conspiracy theory or conspiracy theorists? When did this come up? When we questioned the treason that was committed on 9/11. That's when that started. Very few voiced any opposition to the fact that we were murdering millions of people in the first Gulf War when George H.W. Bush was president. And we only went into Afghanistan to control the poppy fields there. This Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation, and the Taliban is a CIA creation. All of this stuff. Osama bin Laden was a CIA creation. Everybody's reacting to this. And so were the so-called 19 hijackers on 9/11, wielding box cutters. Yeah, right. It's been proven most of them are alive in the Middle East. It's amazing. It's amazing how easy it is to get people to believe something, and then they spend the rest of their days justifying their ignorance. You really do. And I'm not necessarily speaking to my listening audience. I'm speaking about the masses in general. But those that don't act upon having this knowledge and understanding this knowledge are just as guilty as the ones that are ignorant when you do nothing with it. Well, I ask myself sometimes during the day, what would my listening audience think if I just stopped doing a show? If I stopped sharing this knowledge? It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt me because I'm not making money doing this. Nobody's paying me any money to do this. So I can easily apply that time to something that I can either earn money or I can have fun. I can stop answering hundreds and thousands of emails. I can free up some time where I don't have to write articles and post audio archives on my website, get my website back online when it's tampered with, or get my show back up online when it's tampered with, because I'm spreading the truth. People don't want to hear it. Or they want to hear it, but they just want to somehow just know it and not put it to any practical use. That's like buying a can of pork and beans and not knowing how to heat it up. Go ahead, Jim.
That brings up a very interesting point, whether you realize it or not. But it's amazing how, as long as something comes down to the public through organized channels, meaning traditional media, the newspapers, the magazines, TV, all that nonsense, they just gobble it right up, and then they're out there talking about it, you know, and debating and exchanging ideas about it and everything, and it becomes part of the general consciousness.
Yeah.
And yet when it comes from a channel that's not in the mainstream, it doesn't seem to have any impact. So it would be very interesting to find out what kind of impact all this would have if the same truth ever did come through the media. You know, what would people do? Would they suddenly say, oh my God, it doesn't matter that they've heard it all before. It's now sanctioned, you see, by a recognized authority.
Yeah. Well, they're spending their time now countering what's coming out on shows like this, Jim. That's what they're doing. They're spending their time trying to gain back the momentum that they lost when the truth starts getting out. Jim, we've got a caller. Caller, would you state your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Don. It's Everett from Winnipeg.
Well, hello, Everett. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. And yes, there's a lot that I'm agreeing with what you're saying on here. Have you ever heard of the Operation Garden Plot with the United States Civil Disturbance Plan 55-2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
All right. Well, it's just a bunch of things that I'm catching on to that I haven't seen before. So, I like to ask some of my government as to these North American agreements that have been signed for North American Union. Also with the Amero dollar that I hear that's already been passed but not said to the public.
Well, they have some problems with that because of what's going on internationally. Right now, the criminals are trying to negotiate with the World Court and the International Monetary Fund to have an even exchange for their corrupt dollars. In other words, they want to convert them into actual real gold-backed dollars. Well, you can't do
that. That's why they're buying up all the gold.
Yes. You can't do that and not repeat what's going on today. Okay? It's
exactly.
More the same thing. In other words, they see this as an immunity or an out for themselves. But they're making these negotiations on their own behalf. They're not making these on our behalf. You see, they've already stolen the money and assigned the debt to us. And
okay.
I'm telling you, God is going to act upon this. You're going to see an act of God to undo
it. It's already in motion. There's a bunch of people who are saying that, look, we got to get out of these wars. We got to start getting back into talking and got to get light back in the world. And once that happens, then certain things are going to be exposed.
Yes.
I just wanted to pass that on to find out if you knew about that, but that's it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, Jim, of course, you know, their Operation Garden Plot and when we had 9/11, the aftermath of that, under Homeland Security and Operation Urban Warrior, and there's just a whole host of these programs. Rex 84 is another one. These are all these sinister plans to just control everything. And they're trying to do it now legally without really even entering this phase of confrontation that all these things were supposed to create. You know, the bird flu, it may be an improvisation tactic. But, you know, all we can do is put the truth out there and keep putting the truth out there. Now, I noticed that certain individuals who have been sounding the alarm, for example, in regard to the RFID chips, all of a sudden now they're against the bird flu people who are bringing the truth out about these vaccinations and about the companies. I mean, Jim, we know who has the patent to the bird flu vaccine. That's not a big deal to find that out. But we also now know that the virus itself has a patent. Can you believe that? Now,
sure.
Who patents something that's found in nature? No one.
Well, that's because it's not a natural thing.
Exactly.
I mean, that says it all right there. You know, as a matter of fact, patent law dictates that you cannot file for a patent on any natural principle, natural life form, or law of nature. So that should tell you something right there. This N1H1s, or its derivatives, are man-made. That's why they're patented.
Yes.
In a way, it's a riot, though, because you stop and think of it. It just goes to show you the paranoid nature of these idiots who make this stuff. Who the heck would want to steal it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, they have to justify why they're going to charge so much money, you see, because when you own the patent, you can either retain the rights, 100% exclusive rights, to reproduce this item, this invention, or you can license it out, you see. And the patent is the protection that gives you the authority to license it. So it's important for them. They have to make money from everybody. I mean, think about it, people. We're going to pay for the privilege of being killed. That's what they're asking. They're asking you to finance your own death, your own intentional death, committed by them through their creation. Now, how long must we tolerate this? Really? Jim, I got a question here in a chat message. And I think this would be interesting for you to answer this, because you brought this point up. And I've often brought this up on some other shows, but are the junk gold buyers nothing but fences for thieves, since home burglaries are up 70% throughout the USA and over 100% in cities and communities where gun ownership is limited? Therefore, are they just fleecing the people?
Well, I have no proof of this, but my gut instinct tells me that the answer to that is yes. Now, if you turn back the clock just a little bit, back to the 1930s, you will find that there was a law passed at that point that said that citizens could not own gold. And so what did? They took it all away from them. Well, maybe they've learned a little bit in the ensuing years, to the point where they realized that if they were to try to pull that right now, they'd get a muzzle full of buckshot. So now they've turned the tactic around a little bit, and they're using all these ridiculous gold buying companies. And how do we know that a lot of break-ins and a lot of theft and a lot of muggings are not arranged by organizations that are influenced by the government? How do you know that? How much money is disappearing? How much wealth is disappearing? You know, it wouldn't take a lot to look into that and start to put two and two together. One way you could find out would be to get a handle on how many of these people are actually arrested and prosecuted in gold theft. You know, if they're never found, and the numbers are statistically unrealistic, then you can almost bet that somebody behind the scenes is making the arrangements, because they've got their self in a real bind now on account of this incredible debt and this fiat money that nobody wants. And the creditors are demanding payment in gold, and that should tell you everything.
Well, you know, you bring to mind, too, these wildfires that are occurring in the northeastern portions of Los Angeles County, Glendale and those mountain communities, they're foothill communities, really, but they're right next to the mountains. Particularly the San Gabriel Mountains, where they had this rash of fire going on over the past week or so. And they know that these fires have been declared arson, no surprise, okay? Think about who owns that property or those properties. Who are the banks that own those properties? And I guarantee you that if you do some research on every home that was lost in those fires, you'll find out that there are some foreign banks, probably Deutsche Bank, just an example, okay? Because they've been involved with the money laundering, and their name is cropping up all over this country, owning properties here. Why does a German bank own property in the United States? How did that come about? That's the question. Now, you look at the fact that these houses burned down, and the insurance companies are not going to be able to cover all these massive losses. They're already hurting, right? Because they've stolen all the money from these insurance companies. So this is more generation of business. It's going to move the dollars in a particular direction, and it's going to give them the ability to get their hands on the money before they shoot it into an offshore account. That's how they always do it. And this is going to be something, if somebody really looks into this from that perspective, you're going to find that there are going to be some more insurance companies grabbed, more properties are grabbed, because people are going to have to rebuild those that have lost their homes. Are these insurance companies going to be able to afford the payments? And if not, they're going to be scooped up again, this is just going to be a repeating problem. There's no natural cause for these kinds of fires. They're intentionally set. So
I'll give you another interesting circumstance to consider, Don. In this part of the country, around Oklahoma, Texas, the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, and further north and further east, we're in the middle of so-called Tornado Alley. Now, in the last few years, there's been an interesting change in the way things are handled when a neighborhood is destroyed by a tornado. Now, the authorities will go in and rope off the entire area, and they won't let you come back to salvage the stuff that's in your home, because they're going through it. And this has been documented here and in lots of other places around this neck of the woods pretty consistently in the last 2 years. And what happens is when people do get back, they find that their jewelry and guns and any money that they had laying around is always missing. Now, I realize that these tornadoes are very selective in what they suck up, but I very sincerely doubt that after destroying an entire neighborhood, they make a second sweep for the jewelry, guns, and cash. That sounds a little bit far-fetched. So it's probable that the authorities that have roped the area off and do not allow people to come back to salvage their belongings have first pickings. Doesn't that sound a little strange?
Well, it sounds like what they did in New Orleans. In fact, you had police doing this. And don't be surprised to know that the Acorn organization is run out of some secret organization in New Orleans, Louisiana, that has offshore accounts. I've seen some of the corporate declarations involving that. So this is not a hollow charge that I'm making here. And here, Acorn is sitting right in the White House and was given $5 billion for what? To overthrow the government? That's what's going on, folks. See, we bring these points up. And you wonder why these disasters are allowed to occur and why nothing is done. And the money that was given for the Katrina Fund, that was stolen by the Bush-Clinton cabal. It's a known fact that money was stolen. And they stashed it in a bank in Iraq. After they robbed that bank, they took the money that they robbed from the Katrina Fund and took it to Iraq and hid it in a central bank. Can you imagine that? The reason they had to do that was because the original $100 trillion they stole was deposited into safety deposit boxes in three facilities in London. 7,000 safety deposit boxes in three room-sized vaults. With $100 trillion in gold and jewels and all kinds of historical artifacts. Paintings and statues and all kinds of things. It's appalling what goes on. We've been reporting this over and over again. This is known. This is recognized to have happened. And there have been several attempts to get the money out of these banks, and they've been thwarted. You got Hillary Clinton trying to get money out of banks in Korea, or Bill Clinton trying to get it out of Korea. So he goes there under the ruse of rescuing one person, while Burma is still got prisoners of war back from Vietnam War, working on highways and bridges and working in the drug industry, the illegal drug trade, out of Burma. Hillary Clinton went to Kenya and gave a speech about how the Kenyans have to clean up their act. While she was there, she was trying to steal money from a bank account and was caught and stopped, prevented from doing that. And that the Chinese sent a contingency of 150 people to Washington a few weeks ago And they were trying to straighten out this mess and get money that they were owed. You see, there were prosperity accounts that we've been talking about. This is some of the money that's been duplicated and stolen. And it's being played in derivatives and hedge funds. And certain individuals, high individuals, they say there's some 235 or more people in line to be arrested very soon. Because they keep breaking these promises with the foreign countries. Forget about the banks and individual private investors in this country that have been owed money for 30 years that they've stolen. They did the same thing to the Saudis. And we point this out not to complain, you know, wow, you can't trust politicians, they're all corrupt. We're telling you exactly what they're doing. We're telling you why your economy is failing and why there are no more manufacturing jobs in this country. Or any jobs of any real substance. Because if you're not working for an intelligence agency or one of their minions in the military-industrial complex, you're probably going to go out of business, too. Because that's their goal, is to put everybody out of business and to create a slave society. All the writing is on the wall. All of it. And they want to attack us for putting the truth out. They want to shut us down for putting the truth out. They want to make it a crime to tell the truth. Doesn't that register? Doesn't that mean anything to you? Or are you satisfied with that? I tend to think it's the latter. Jim, we're almost out of time here. Do you want to follow up on what I just said and give us a piece of your mind?
Well, unfortunately, you know, when I get rolling, I need more than just a minute or so. But, yeah, I think it would be appropriate for me to say a few things. You know, the fact of the matter is that there is so much wrong that even if we had the absolute authority to go ahead and fix it, I'm not sure that you'd even know where to start. And I was just talking about this the other day at lunch with a dear friend of mine. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of what your religion may be, the truth of the matter is that it's so far gone that it's not going to be fixed without divine intervention. Now, that does not mean that we have to sit back and wait for God to come down and fix it. Don't take that interpretation because it's absolutely false. What it means is that we have to raise our minds and hearts to God with the intent of receiving inspiration and help from Him to direct us as to what to do. Because if we don't do that, and we sit back on our haunches and wait, then what's going to happen is that things are going to get so bad that there's going to be violence. I assure you that this is going to occur. Every time this occurs in history, that's the answer, blood. Now, of course, if you want the streets running red, that's fine. But at this point in time, it can still be avoided. Remember that. And it's our responsibility, once again, I say, to make the changes before it's too late. That's about all I got to say, Don, because we've been over it a million times.
Yeah. I want to respond to one thing. I get these emails, and Ken Adachi gets these emails from time to time, about the photos of Balqui that I published on my website, directlightproductions.com. It seems to me that there are, right now, I don't know, it's five or six individuals on the whole planet who have figured out a way to go hunting pictures of Balqui. And then telling me that it's Mount Fuji or something along those lines. And I've already figured out who's sending these emails and who created the photos. And Ken Adachi and I are preparing a piece on this. And we're just going to call these people for who they are. Because the evidence, we're going to put out the truth, okay? We're not afraid to do that. But in an attempt to discredit these photos that I was given for the purpose of posting them on my site, the creation of a phony website and backdating their their pages to 2006 in no way discredits these photos. You show me, you geniuses out there that have figured a way to go through stock photos and look up the photos of the planet Balqui without using the word Balqui. Let's use a little bit of ordinary common sense logic here. I'm not even talking about a high IQ. One's a professor of physics at the University of California, Irvine. Another one works for the Canadian Department of Forestry and Agriculture. Actually, the first individual created the picture and had the second individual email it to Ken Adachi. And these minions that work out there in the intelligence agencies on behalf of the reptilians and the corrupt military-industrial complex that don't want anybody in the universe to know the truth about anything are conspiring together, okay? And we're going to out these people very soon. So have your fun sending your little emails. In a very short time, you're going to be exposed for who you really are. And names will apply where they are pertinent. So, Jim, it's been a great show tonight. I wish we could go on for a couple more hours. Obviously, we're both very passionate about these topics. And you're going to be on again Friday. We can continue here or with another topic on Friday. It's all up to you.
Well, Don, I'll give it great thought, you know, between now and then, and hopefully we'll come up with something that's riveting and worthwhile. We usually do. And in any event, I will be available for you as usual.
Okay, very good. I thank you for helping us out last weekend and for coming on tonight, and I look forward to your visit this Friday. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And on blogtalkradio.com and Windtalkers Radio Network. Join us again tomorrow evening. My guest, as I mentioned at the top of the show, was scheduled to be Ingrid Castle. I am going to probably do a monologue tomorrow night, and I'm going to touch upon many of these issues. Seems to be a need for this, and I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. I ask everyone to continue praying for Don Harkins, the publisher and editor of the Idaho Observer, for his speedy recovery and his return back to his duties with the Idaho Observer. He is sorely needed on this planet at this time. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Tonight, Don Newsom on the sound. Thanks, Don. It was great. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.